face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
What's up?
They work.
Matey.
Well, you're at work.
Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy in for Beatle. Christian Arkham with us here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. T-Bone producing Kristen Sermon is in today. Kristen was on Twitter last
night. Tweet of the night.
Well, here's what you have to know about Kristen. Anything can set her off, and you don't know what's going to set her off. She gets very upset, and she flies off the handle, and she starts yelling and screaming at people. And you never know what it's going to be. And last night, it happened to be one particular tweet that, correct me if I'm wrong, Kristen, this was not even directed toward you specifically, was it? Go ahead, but speak, please. It's fascinating.
Speak.
I just saw it on my timeline, and I retweeted it.
Okay.
So it was floating around, and I saw it, and I'm like, this is wrong.
Okay. So you, how this came up in your timeline, I don't know. It is the Twitter handle at Now This News. It's got 2.6 million followers. Is this something that you follow, Kristen?
No, I think someone else that I followed retweeted it and I saw it.
Okay. All right. And it was very upsetting to you. Now This News tweeted out something that said, and it had the photograph and everything, New Englanders swear by bread in a can.
No, you know.
Bread in a can and it with an accompanying video that said bread in a can is a New England favorite. It dates all the way back to colonial America. During the American Revolution, wheat flour was a luxury. That's why different flours were mixed and few Americans had ovens. So the bread dough would be poured into an empty coffee can and steamed over an open fire.
Mm.
Today, you can make it with an oven or on the stovetop, or you can buy a can from the supermarket. To get it out of the can, you have to take off the both the top and the bottom, and then the bread slides out. You just can't open it like a can of soup.
I think B&M is the biggest brand.
Yes.
Makes the bread can. The can and bread in a can. There's two things I wouldn't want in a can. One would be bread.
Well, the bread's popularity continued to modern day, according to at Now This News.
What's the other ones?
Shut up.
Specifically in New England. When B&M, a company known for its canned baked beans, started selling its brand of canned bread.
And they do this. I started going to diners when I first got here. And most of the diners, the ones locally here, out here in the suburbs by where I live now, would serve baked beans on the side, like as a side and breakfast. I don't want an omelet and home fries and this like hot steaming thing of baked beans. They're like, oh, it's a New England. It's a New England thing. It's Boston. Nobody does that. Do you know anybody that does that?
No. And they say outside it's known as Boston brown bread outside of New England. So, you know, they're trying to tell us that this is the thing and that here in New England, we still enjoy bread in a can. So, that led us to think, what things, specifically, are people, quote-unquote, known for in New England that do not hold true? Zoe, I think you brought up a great one there, the whole Boston baked beans thing.
That's like, bull crap, right? Bean right? Town. Right
bean
in Boston.
Town. Make oh, beans. Yeah, beans with every meal.
Bean Town.
Yep. How often do you eat beans? Christian.
Okay.
Beans, big part of your diet?
No.
No.
They're not.
I grew up in Pennsylvania, and every time I'd see somebody, I'd be like, oh, you got that big thing you eat at breakfast called Scrapple, right? You know what Scrapple is? It's like all the chewed up pig parts, like the nose, the ears, the cheeks, the hooves, the butt, the intestines, and they stew it up, like, and they put it into these Jello molds, and it like has this what's this stuff? It's called gelatin, right? That they put in so it coagulates, and then what they do is they slice it. It's like Spam. It's like freaking the way they make Spam in a can, and they slice it, and then they grill it. It's called Scrapple, and I'll tell you what, it tastes pretty good when you get a crust on it. But damn, it's just disgusting when you actually watch how Scrapple's made. And we're not that. We don't always eat that. We're not Pennsylvanians. We don't do that. Just because we're there. Yeah, the Amish started that. Blame those people. They started it.
I've never heard of that, and I didn't know that, you know, that was something that Western Pennsylvanians were known for.
What's your thing in Detroit? Like, you know,
I don't know. Do you think of it, of Detroiters being into something or Michiganders being into something? Not really.
Maryland, you guys, like, oh, you guys, it's blue crab, and you are into it, though.
You guys are really into cars. Actually, we are. Most Michiganders and Detroiters love their cars and have they. It's more of a thing. Like that was something that kind of blew me away when I moved out of Michigan and, you know, started living in different parts around the country. Like, oh, it's just transportation. I don't care what kind of car I drive. Like, yeah. How can you not care what kind of car you drive? It's just transportation to me. What?
Yeah.
No, it's your car. That's important. That's an important thing in your life. No, not many places outside of Detroit. It is not nearly as important.
That bread in the can thing though. I watch a lot of the cooking shows, and of course you have like Top Chef, and they come in and they have to. They have to make whatever's in the basket, and they'll throw in like prawns, bread in a can, and jelly beans, and you have to make a dish. I've never seen chefs be more confused as to what to use for the bread in a can, because they have to take it out and eat it. And they're like, "Well, this isn't bread. It's really it has a consistency of like a corn muffin, right?" Wouldn't you say that, Kristen? Do you eat? You don't eat bread in a can, obviously, because you.
No, she said not this New Englander.
Right. And people, like, you watch the Brits eat it, and they're like, oh, you put a little butter on there. It's a good little snack. It's what makes their teeth so yellow. You know, when you watch it come out, it actually looks like a turd coming out of a can. And it's disgusting looking. I don't know how people eat that. But I could see if you're stuck, like, out in the woods and, you know, back in the days, you know, as you said, for, you know, the war and everything, and you got to hurry up and pop something open and something keeps on the shelf, bread in a can.
So Ken on Twitter said that canned brown bread with hot dogs and beans was a weekly meal in my house and all my friends' homes when I was growing up in Boston in the 60s and 70s. So it was
really?
A thing.
I thought it was spaghetti. Didn't that kid Anthony, like, yeah, didn't his mother yell, hey, Anthony, come
North
here.
End, yeah.
Well, Prince Spaghetti, yeah.
But that's not necessarily a Boston thing. People think we eat canned bread.
What? I'd never even heard of that stuff. I'd really never heard. It sounded like something they ate in the Great Depression. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like a Great Depression.
Yeah.
It's not a thing. I would say this. People assume when you travel, and this may be a difficult topic to do, because people want, you know, we're asking, like, what misconceptions about New Englanders?
Well, state of Texas, we eat steaks. Right?
Yeah, are wrong that you encounter.
Barbecue.
Now, I have a good friend of mine, and I won't say his name, Brian, who is proud of the fact that he has never traveled west of the 495. And pretty much anything west of the 95 is foreign to him. If you talk about going to the Natick Mall, he'll look at you like you have horns growing out of your head.
Well, that's
born in Dorchester,
so
lives in West Roxbury. That's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. That's the frontier. I'm not going out there.
That's,
right?
Yeah.
So in order to learn about misconceptions, you actually have to travel outside of, you know, the loop. And some people don't. But I will say people do assume that we're all Red Sox fans in New England. Oh, you love the Red Sox. Love the Red Sox. I'd say a fair number of people just don't care, or they are fair weather fans. They only care and would call themselves a Red Sox fan when the team is doing well. It is not the thing that it used to be. And the people die hard, live and breathe Red Sox. No, not lately.
A Red Sox fan, I could die.
Not lately.
Red Sox fan.
Chuck and Lowell.
Ask at the, when's the baseball reporter start?
Hey.
Monday?
Yeah. What
hey,
do you,
Chuck.
What do you have about bread in the can?
Listen, bread in a can is very popular in Northeast Massachusetts.
Where?
The French Canadians started it. It's rye bread with raisins, and it goes great with French beans. It's something that was a staple every Saturday. I'm 68 years old. It was a staple every Saturday afternoon.
Do you still eat it now, though, Chuck? Do you still eat bread?
Your friends come over and say, "Hey, Mom, break out the bread in the bread, break out the bread in the can for all the kids."
It's you can still buy it,
but do you still eat it, Chuck?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Eating it right now.
I do.
Okay, Chuck.
This, it's kind of funny, this Scrapple stuff. I didn't have Scrapple until I went to Virginia. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And I love Post-it notes.
Right.
I know.
Who doesn't? All
it's
right.
Like eating the inside of a hot dog, right? It's all the crap parts, a bologna.
Thank you.
I grew up on fried bologna sandwiches.
We used to have
pounds and pounds of jumbo.
I ate a lot of fried bologna. You gotta cut it though, otherwise it bubbles up too much.
Mayonnaise, mustard. It's so good.
See the trick to making a good fried bologna is you gotta sear it. You gotta get a good sear on that bologna.
Crust on it. Yes. Yes.
Dennis in Rockland. What do you have on the canned bread?
Back on Saturday night was hot dogs and beans. And people used to, more than now, used to B&M stuff. And so Wednesday was Prince Spaghetti Day. So that's where Anthony was singing his thing.
Yeah.
And a little quirk, 75% of all the ginger ale in this country is drank in New England.
I don't believe that.
Brad Stevens,
I don't believe that. 75% of ginger ale consumption takes place in the New England states?
That may have been true once. I don't think that's true now.
I do not believe that.
I have a question. Okay, so you eat the... I've heard of Frank's and beans, and I've eaten them, right? What do you do with the bread? Do you combine it? Do you chop it up and put it in with it? Or
I think you spread it out over the top of the bread.
No.
It's like an open face. I think it's like an open face sandwich.
You don't use it as a sandwich. You don't cut it like a sandwich.
An open face sandwich. I think that you make the bread in the can. You put the hot dogs and beans on top of the bread. It's like an open face. You ever have an open face?
We're gonna have to do this when we get back in.
All right. We'll come back. More of this.
You did this, dude. Remember you did the milk and the Pepsi thing and all that. And then we did the Moxie one day. We got to do this.
I remember when Tanguay said, "You can't get Moxie anywhere." And then I literally stopped at the Star Market 400 yards from the station.
It's tough to find, but you can find it. Yeah,
you can find it. Yeah. All you have to do is go into a supermarket, and there it is. There's the bottle of Moxie.
Next to the Yoo-Hoo and all the other weird
stuff. Yeah, the specialty soft drinks. All right. Your call is at 617-779-0985.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. It's he got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You sheltered me from harm, kept me warm. Kept me warm.
In the voice that you kept today.
What are we listening to?
I'll take the flower.
The band Bread. Oh my God, there was a Hesher on our street. Mark Williams. He was kind of the neighborhood bully. Oh, and he had an older brother. Oh my God. Brad and Mark Williams. And their cousin Heath.
So
yep. He listened to Bread. All right. Very good. So canned bread, a thing in New England? Yes, no, maybe a little bit. 617-779-0985. We will go to John in, I don't know, according to Kristen, Waltham. I'm guessing it's Waltham, and I can't pull him up anyway, so you're going to have to pull up line three for me, please, T-Bone. Go ahead, John.
Where's Waltham?
Hey, howdy. How you doing?
Good.
Hey.
I like that bread intro. Brown bread is almost as bad as the band bread. But, no, you know, you kind of date yourself. You got to be like in your 50s if you had brown bread. Because Saturday nights, mother would cook it up, steam it up in a pot. You know, open the can, put it in a little bit of water, steam it. Slice it up half an inch, put some... cream cheese on top of it.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
How you eat it.
Well, now you're bringing in the Philadelphia cuisine into all this. This is a thing, and it's why Saturdays? Why would you do this? Why would you subject your family to this on a Saturday? Unless it was considered a delicacy. Don and Peabody, bread in a can?
Yeah,
this is a thing?
Hello?
Yeah, Don, go.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to... share my experience with the brown bread.
Oh, good.
The way my grandmother used to cook it was she would take and punch a hole in the bottom of the can to create like some relief on the pressure and carve out a slice of 1 inch and fry it in butter. And then the key was having the hot dogs be pan fried in a cast iron skillet with butter.
What was the problem with just buying a loaf of bread?
I don't know. I think that guy hit it on the head when he was talking about a cultural thing. I really do believe my family had a French background, and I don't think it stems from the Depression. I just think it was just a cultural thing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. No.
Try it sliced up and fried in butter.
All right. Thank you.
I don't like things you have to doctor to eat. You know?
Well, especially if it's in a can. Like, do you still eat corned beef hash out of a can?
I would, yeah. Yeah, you got to get a crust on it, though.
Okay, so, well, now you're getting into the preparation thing. If I'm eating corned beef hash,
on the rare
occasions when I do...
You don't eat it raw.
No, I will take a couple of spoonfuls out, put it on a plate... microwave it for 30 seconds, and then I'll put an egg over easy on top.
That sounds so good.
Okay?
That sounds so good.
Super Blonde Blonde insists on frying it up in a skillet and getting that brown. I'm like, well, now you're cooking. Now we might as well just cook. Yeah. The whole point of eating corned beef hash out of a can is I don't feel like cooking. I'm not going to cook corned beef hash. I'm gonna heat it up for 30 seconds and get on with my life.
Best breakfast I ever had was on a cruise. And they had these hash browns, but the way they made the hash browns, they had like sausage and peppers and onions were like cut up in it, but they weren't big hash browns. They were like the stringy kind, but it was, you know, they cooked it and they put it on a flat top and they took your order. It wasn't like you were doing buffet. And the lady's like, just try this. And, you want, cause I never was a big hollandaise guy. And she goes, I got a poached egg here for you. And she takes it, opens a drawer, there's like a million poached eggs. She scoops it on. She goes, here's a vat of scoop. Take a scoop of this, put it over the top of it. Hollandaise sauce. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is delightful.
Yeah.
Like some bacon. Oh man. It's like, it's about the way you cook it too. My grandfather used to do it all the time. He came back from steel mill. He's Czechoslovakian, but we lived on noodles, butter, onions, and cabbage when we grew up. And my grandmother would make stuffed cabbage rolls with cheap ground beef, and it was all about cheap because it was cheap. We were poor, and you would. I remember waiting in line with him at for the government cheese down at the steel mill.
Yeah,
and you would take that back, and we'd make fried, grilled tomato and cheese sandwiches. It was like a grilled cheese, but you put tomato on it.
That sounds like high living to me.
But grandma would get the Campbell's soup out, you dip it in, and
right.
We were living large, man.
I understand.
Didn't do anything better.
Robbie in New Hampshire, bread in a can. What do you have for us?
Well, here's the thing. I grew up in Rhode Island, and we had
Johnny cakes, right?
Oh, yeah, we had Johnny cakes. That's right. You know, really, though, you should have a cooking show. You know a lot about food.
I'm a pretty good cook. I tell you what, I did a stuffed pepper about a month ago, and it was the best stuffed pepper I ever had.
You know, you talk about food with such passion. You would really be good on a
food
cooking show.
Food is passion.
Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about Brown bread. So I think it originally came from England. And the reason it's in a can is because that it's steamed. So that's what keeps it moist. And that's actually what bakes the bread, is it's steamed. And the reason, Hardy, that we ate it on Saturdays is probably because the baked beans were started Friday night and cooked all day Saturday. And then they were ready for Saturday night.
And there then you we had go. Okay.
And then you had the baked beans for the leftover beans for breakfast on Sunday.
All right, Robbie, thank you. This is now we're getting answers.
That was enlightening.
Now this helps as opposed to bread in a can. Now, okay, give us some more information. Help us understand why it's a thing.
That
makes sense now. Okay.
You know what else is good? You know what else is good? Mini pizzas, English muffin pizzas.
Okay, we're not doing all foods at all times.
But that's a thing here because it's a big English muffin.
That's that thing everywhere.
Not New England. We start making them, and they're delightful. You could do little mini. You could customize them. We had a mini pizza party.
Richie in Uxbridge, what do you have for us, Richie?
I think what's throwing you guys off is calling it bread. It's more like the texture of like a muffin.
Okay. Yeah,
and it's made with molasses, so it's like sweet.
Yeah,
so it goes good with the salty beans.
You almost have to put it or soak it. I've heard people soak it in alcohol, then fry it up, and then put like a maple syrup on it with powdered sugar. Like all of a sudden you made it a dessert. I'm serious. I got a buddy that soaks it in brandy. Instead, he just pan fries it real quick, puts a little hot maple syrup on top of some powdered sugar. He said it's unbelievable.
Kristen, you can tell everybody we're all done with the brown bread calls after this one, okay?
Are they still coming in?
Oh, yeah. We're going to do one more. Unless you want to keep talking about bread in a can, though.
No.
Okay, Peter in West Wareham. You have the last word on brown bread in a can.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Yes.
Good. I still eat it today. I don't like the one with the raisins. I prefer the brown bread. My mother used to get it for us all the time. Yes, with the beans, it soaks up the beans, and I like to cut it and put it in the toaster and fry it up.
And you are 58 years old.
61.
I was going to say 61, and I didn't want to offend you. Damn it! I should have just done it.
He sounds 60.
All right. Thank
another
you.
Thing. Another thing is Yorkshire ducks.
What's Yorkshire ducks?
It's an English thing. It comes from overseas, but you can't get it anymore. It was like stuff you didn't want to know about, and
like
it was
spotted dick.
It was wrapped in like the intestines, and then you cooked it. Oh, it was delicious.
Okay, so it's like a chitlin then.
Maybe.
I've eaten chitlin. That a buddy I played with, and his parents would come up. His mom would cook it. You walk in the house when they're cooking it. You think someone puked everywhere.
Oh, my God.
I can't even describe the piercing, vinegary, tart puke smell.
My next-door neighbor.
Smells when you cook chitlins.
From Alabama, used to make pot liquor, which I believe is like boiling down like collard greens or something to get like the something at the bottom of it. On more than one occasion, I called over to make sure that she was still alive and that she hadn't died and the body was decomposing. And another time, I almost called the gas company because I thought the whole house was ready to blow up because next door, they're making pot liquor, which is, again, the smell alone is enough to... Why would you ever eat that?
It's a smell that you can't explain, you can't ever get back.
Right. All right.
Yorkshire ducks?
Yorkshire ducks? Yorkshire ducks? Yorkshire ducks?
Thank you for the call, Peter. Thank you, everybody who called in on brown bread. We're all done with that now. We do have some breaking news now from Adam Schefter, I believe, that Arcan will probably have in his headlines here regarding the developing situation with the Washington football team, formerly known as the Redskins. And don't forget, Bruce Arena will be joining us coming up here at 12:50. Rev's got another game tomorrow night, and I'll be here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
BAP. Howie important as the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Szolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Grab a couple of calls here on the Redskins. They need to change their name, but they got other problems brewing down there. But the name is still a thing. Scott on the Cape. What do you have on the Washington Redskins name, Scott?
Hey, guys. First of all, for Zoe, hey, so shout out to, first of all, Pigs in the Blanket. And second of all, Zoe, I'm sure you...
Shout out to Swedish Fish.
What are we doing? Well, yeah, Swedish Fish. Okay, so I played for North Hills in the WPIAL in 87. Nice. And well, I'm sure you probably know because you were there then, 87 USA Today National Championship team. And now I'm fit to be tied because I see on Facebook the school director, the school board, is wanting to change from North Hills Indians to something else. And I can't even
believe
that.
How old are you?
I'll be 50.
Okay, did you play with Kenny Oberle?
Yes, I did.
He's a lineman. Yeah, he went to Maryland with me. Yeah, you get some good players come out of here, man. Freaking machine.
Yeah, we sure did. Yep.
Yeah, I mean that's no shock. I mean that's it's what we're in now. You know,
fighting Indians. I mean, come on. I mean, it's they want to go to North Hills Hilltoppers. I mean, come on. Anyways, guys,
Scott, do you understand though that they're like Native Americans don't want to be used as a mascot anymore?
Yeah, I understand that, but I think that should be all around major sports before you start dipping into high school and peewee football teams.
Why? I mean, Natick changed their name. Yeah, I mean, it's happening. It's been happening.
I mean, if you think that it should be changed in professional sports, why not change them for the schools too?
Well, then I guess it should just be all in across the board.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
just
I think that's what's happening. That's what's happening.
My kids' Pop Warner's team's the Chiefs. You know, the Chiefs and the high school team's the Warriors. There's pressure to change those names. You know, you're hearing it.
Right, absolutely. I played for the Westview Braves, peewee football growing up. Anyways, guys, so as far as the former Washington Redskins, I would think I've never heard anyone say of all these names, I've never heard anyone, which I think would be a great name because it would make sense, would be either the Washington or D.C. Commanders, because you got the commander in chief, you got the commander of the Navy, you got Command Central, you got everything like that. So
you got commandos, Scott Szolak, you go commando, I think, all the time.
You're going
commando
right now?
All day, yeah. Every day.
Arcan, you go commando?
No.
Meaning.
I don't have the stones.
I
used to be a tidy. What's funny is I used to be a tidy whitey guy.
Yeah. I like to wear a pair of jeans minimum, I would say, three times before I would even consider putting them in the wash.
I had a problem with the button fly.
Well, with commando, I would feel compelled to wash them every single time. Zoe, is that an issue?
No. I usually end up getting holes in mine. What happens is, and this happened a couple of my nice suits too, is the sweat tends to eat at the fabric.
Are you dry cleaning your suit after every wearing of them?
No.
No. But you're going commando.
Yeah.
Don't you see the obvious issue
there?
What
do you think, I wipe my rear? I mean, come on.
It's still, is it a place you would eat lunch off of?
Tell you what, long flight? I probably should wear them long flight.
I think you should.
Flight 3 or more hours.
I think you should wear them, period.
I tell my man Sosie. Oh, do you see part of this Redskins thing? The radio play-by-play guy?
Yeah.
Left. He had to turn himself in. It'd be like Sosie being caught in a scandal.
Which I don't think Bob Sosie would ever be caught in any scandal about anything.
Way too classy. He is way too classy.
Bill in East Falmouth. What's up, Bill?
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, sorry for the wait there, Bill, but thank you for your patience. What do you have on the Redskins?
In general, I was listening to you folks. I actually worked in radio and TV, but I've never called in. But I just happened to, catch wind in regards to the trademark and the names and all this stuff. And it's like playing the lottery in some. I have like 50 domains, and I went and I bought Washington Chieftains, And you know, just like, who cares? I think .net.com and .org cost me $28. And so I think that you were kind of putting the guy down at the time.
Yes.
And I think maybe you should be, because he's full of it, when the reality is people, you know, they play this game with the
trade. He's doing it. He's doing it for a reason. And then the part I got pissed at is he said, hey, I want to give it to them for free, but they haven't called me back in 10 days. So now there's a price tag all of a sudden on it.
Now, Bill, are you saying you do the same thing, that you own the Chieftains? Is that what?
Chieftains.
Well, I went out and I bought, you know, the Washington Chieftains. I thought, you know, it's leader of people. I thought that would be a pretty good name. So yeah. I said, the heck, it's available. I'll buy these three domains. If, you know, if nothing for nothing, it only costs like $28. But, my name is Billy Flaherty, Flats, and I actually worked at EEI. I started out there, then I went to Fox Sportsnet, and I built 1510 with Mike Kelleher way back when, and so on and so forth.
Right,
so,
post your resume. All right, well, let's do that. Thank you, Bill, for the call. I'm not saying that it's you know, the worst way to make a living, but as Bill, you just said, don't lie about it. Don't say you're doing it as a means to protect the integrity of the names so that you can have a seamless transition from going from one to the other. Like, get over yourself.
Yeah, who brought up Chieftain.
You're glad he brought that up? Why?
No, because there's an excellent restaurant on Route 1. I don't know if it's Plainville or North Attleboro, right on North Attleboro, Plainville line. The Chieftain. It's a fantastic restaurant locally here.
Okay. And get a plug.
That is a... What is chief? I don't even know what that means.
I think it's like an actuary. I think a chieftain is a synonym for actuary.
Head of a tribe or a clan.
don't do that.
A shout out to Yorkshire Ducks.
A shout out? Where? Who gave a shout out to pigs in a blanket?
I don't know. The guy was very happy, though, that he thought you had shouted out pigs in a blanket.
No, like, no one ever mentioned that. And here's another thing. What do you dip your pigs in a blanket in?
Mustard.
Mustard.
Is it just straight ketchup and mustard? Or do
you know,
you
what?
Get creative with like a tangy sauce, or
I'm not one
a
of these,
barbecue slash vinegar sauce?
I'm not one of these haters on, you know, hot dogs and ketchup. If we're doing pigs in a blanket or corn dogs, mini corn dogs, Wiener Schnitzel, anybody? Mm. I will take mostly mustard, but a little bit of ketchup there too. Why not?
I like ketchup and mustard combo, yeah.
Aioli. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know we had an aristocrat in on headlines today.
It's called aioli, guys.
Let's talk.
You're an aristocrat, huh?
Oh, medium rare. Aristocrat.
Medium rare.
Bruce Arena, sporting director and head coach of the New England Revolution, 1-0 on the MLS's back tournament. Game 2 tomorrow night. We'll speak with him next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Hey!
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy and for Beatle. Joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, the sporting director and head coach of the New England Revolution. We talk with him every week, Bruce Arena. Bruce, thanks for being on once again. How are you?
My pleasure, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
How's it going down there?
A little warm.
A little warm.
I see
you guys are staying at the Swan and the Dolphin Hotel, and that's kind of almost interconnected to the beach club and the boardwalk and all that over there. Have you guys come across any NBA guys that are getting outside their bubble? Because I know they get a snitch line, and you could call and report guys for walking around where they shouldn't be. Do you guys have a snitch line?
No, we don't. Maybe we should do that, but we're pretty busy as it is.
Well, I want to talk last week's game first, because it was so good to have sports back on the TV and so good to be able to watch the team. It was also very frustrating because the number of chances that you had, and again, I didn't get a chance to see your reaction on a lot of them, but it had to have been frustrating because that felt like that could have been 3-0 at half, and it could have ended up as a 4-5-0 game, or 5-1 if it weren't for Matt Turner and his amazing save at the end of the match.
Right, I can't question the fact that we had a lot of good chances, and we've got to do better with those chances, else. You know, we let teams hang around, and that game was a game that I really felt we dominated. However, we left Montreal in the game for 96 minutes.
But to your point there, Bruce, you know, the chances, it wasn't so much about the finish, I didn't think. I mean, I thought you were snake bit a couple of times. I thought everything, like you said, you were dominating. The movement through the middle third and into the attacking third. I mean, it all looked good. That's just the ball wasn't finding the back of the net. I'm sure you've dissected it much more than that, but is there something that I missed watching it last week?
No, I think you're correct in what you've stated. And, I think as we continue to play more, we'll get a little sharper. And I'd like to believe if we create some of those chances tomorrow night, we're going to finish them off.
Now, you had a tough ending here, too. You have, 10 players in the second half? A total of 10 players available for you?
That's correct. You know, with the new substitution rules, you're allowed 5 substitutions at 3 different times. They don't count halftime, so you can make a change at halftime. That doesn't count against your 3 opportunities to substitute. So I think we're going to, as we continue to move forward in this tournament, and hopefully we get out of group play, I envision that we're going to use more players.
So it's going to be like that. It's going to be formatted like the FIFA tournament then, correct? Like this back tournament, as far as, you know, when you guys get to the end of the month before the big final on the 11th.
Yeah, that's correct. You know, 16 teams will advance out of group play, and then it'll be knockout. So it'll get exciting as you get out of group play.
Did you think that it went according to plan in terms of the way you were thinking about substituting during the match? We talked to you before you played last week, and you thought, you know, with the conditions down there, with the heat, the humidity, you may be subbing earlier, maybe subbing more. Did it go about according to plan? Because I got to say, once again, from watching it, the guys who played looked like they were sweating a lot. They were tired, but I didn't with my own eyes see any noticeable drop off in level of play. And I'm wondering if that's because the substitutions went the way you wanted them to, and if anything changed throughout the course of the match.
Well, actually, I think we played players a lot longer than I thought we'd be able to. The team was fitter than I thought they would be. You know, we worked real hard in the month of June in Foxborough, and the guys showed well. So we made, I think, 2 changes in the 83rd minute or so. So we played a lot of guys most of the game. So that was a pleasant surprise. And, you know, we realized that as we move forward in the tournament, there's probably going to be times where we've got to use more players because of the conditions.
I couldn't believe it myself, because I'm watching it and I went back and checked the starting 11. I'm like, did I missee something in the first half? Were there guys out there that I didn't think were out there? But yeah, they played a long time and they seemed to be up for it. And now, as it turns out, you're going to have at one more day than I thought we originally thought to prepare for tomorrow night's match. Is that something that you need, or do you wish maybe you could have gotten back to it a little bit sooner?
Yeah, I think I would have preferred playing tonight rather than tomorrow, but we have no excuses. We're well rested. We're well prepared for the game, so hopefully we can have a real good showing.
Bruce, it was great to see you guys back last week, and one more day is not too much to ask. So as long as it works out, great. I hope it does. Getting that first win off the bat, that just changes the whole tone of the rest of the tournament, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think we're well positioned to get out of group play. Any kind of result tomorrow night will likely get us into the round of 16.
Nice.
And I must tell you, we're real proud of the showing we saw at Gillette Stadium with all our fans
attending the stadium and watching the games in their cars. I thought that was absolutely great. So we look forward to having a successful tournament here in Orlando and hopefully seeing our fans at some point this year.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. All right, thank you very much, Bruce Arena, head coach, sporting director, New England Revolution. Always good to talk to you, and we'll do it again next week.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Good luck Friday night.
All right, so there he goes, Bruce Arena. The game last week, so they had some noise like pumped in that, you know, we've talked about it in terms of how it would be from a viewing standpoint.
I watched clips of this, yes.
It didn't bother me. It didn't bother me in the slightest.
You know what it has to feel? It has to feel like you ever watch some of these, your kids aren't old enough or they don't play those sports to where you watch some of these AAU tournaments down there that take place down at Disney. You see all the Disney signage in the backdrop and all that, and it sort of has that feeling of, you know, watching these tournaments that take place every summer where they house all these kids. And it's amazing. I mean, they're staying at the Dolphin and the Swan Hotel, so they have some pretty nice digs there. They're in a good spot down there.
Yeah.
But so they should be enjoying it.
In terms of, like, the, you know, consuming it, though, on the TV end, I wasn't thrown off by the noise. The thing that throws me off is when they showed, like, the big screens that are there on the field, and they had, like, images of fans watching from home, like on Skype. And I don't know if it was intended or if it's something that they're kind of tinkering with. I'm like, I don't need that. That's
forced. Yeah, it's like that NFL draft crap. You know.
Yes, that's kind of what it reminded me of. And it's
turn off.
It's not.
Just give me the product.
It's really not a part of like the televised product, but you glimpse up and see it. And if I were a player, I'm like, I know they're trying to remind people that people are watching and they're interacting, but for some reason it like makes it seem smaller. It's like, here I am out here playing this game. It's 93. It's humid. I'm feeling ready to die. And I look up and I see one guy watching at home. It's like, instead of making a personal connection, if I were a player, I think it would make me feel like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Look how cool he is. He has black ear pods. Where did he get those?
I would rather see the shot of Gillette Stadium where the cars came in and parked. Just show me that. Show me the people.
That was pretty neat. They did it on the field.
Yeah,
that was cool.
That was
the actual field. Yeah, I like that. So there's another point to what we talked about earlier with the NFL and why they're going to need a preseason game. So they're already starting to go through some of this protocol of natural distancing and trying to keep cars apart. You see the guys directing cars in. Now, granted, you're on the football field there, or the soccer field, the pitch is what I like to call it. So at least that's starting to get them used to potentially what we're going to see here eventually with preseason football.
All right. Let's get our headlines here from Christian Arcand.
You going to do this dog rock thing next or what? We're going to get weird? I thought we were getting weird in 1 o'clock hour.
Oh, we're definitely getting weird. Did you say dog walk?
No, that dog rock.
Oh, the dog rock.
You said you were going to touch on the dog rock painting. You had a beef about that, and we never got to it.
Okay.
Plus, we got Mike Tyson versus an animal.
The dog rock thing makes me kind of angry, and I think for the sake of the show and my own mental health, I think we should talk about Mike Tyson instead.
Let's do Tyson.
I think Tyson's more fun. And has potential to get a lot weirder.
And I'm not getting fooled again, okay? I did this before.
I know you're not.
You ain't getting me again.
Hey,
all right?
Cue up the Who, because Zoe's not going to get fooled again. 90 seconds from now, no commercials.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.